Right, well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ordinary council meeting of Monday, the 24th of February 2020. It's 5:30, we're underway. Council acknowledge and pay respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of the land on which we meet. All persons in attendance are advised that it is council policy to record council meetings in accordance with council's digital recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant council officer and advise of their wishes prior to the start of the meeting. Item 1.0 is apologies. We have a full complement of councillors. Item 2.0 is declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest in any item on this agenda?
Yes, Mayor. Item 3.2.1.
3.2.1. Thank you. Any other items? Moving on. Item 3.1.1, a confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting of January the 28th. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please?
So, second.
Councillor Hollister, Councillor Jarman, Councillor Hollister.
No, it's all in the minutes, nothing further to add.
Thank you, Councillor Jarman.
Nothing further.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Hollister to close.
It's closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2 is public question time. Item 3.2.1 is responses to questions raised at prior council meetings.
So moved. Oh, sorry.
It's all right. Councillor Perry?
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder, please? Councillor Murphy, thank you. Councillor Perry?
It's all in the report, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy?
Nothing further.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Councillor Milbourne? Item 3.2.2 is questions on notice from the public. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
You do.
Councillor Laycock, do I have a seconder?
Seconder.
Councillor Alexia. Councillor Laycock?
Nothing further to add.
Councillor Alexia?
Nothing further.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.3 is questions without notice from the public. It was the opportunity for members of the public to step forward, state their name and address, and ask their question, with a reminder that there are two questions and 3 minutes per person. Thank you.
Right, Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. I wish to submit this question. The Devonport City Council is supposed to have a high standards for the parks and reserves within the boundaries of the living city. Last year you had tree contractors cut down a fallen tree at your reserve along from the Coles Beach car park. This reserve is frequently by locals and tourists that walk this area. The tree was cut up in the month of December, with jagged remains left since then. You even have council workers mowing around this hazard. This isn't the workers' responsibility to report it. Just leave it as it is. As it's not a problem. Which is a good attitude to take. Even the local ratepayers have reported this issue to no avail. Too hard to fix, no managers to check standards that the ratepayers pay for in the living city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I'll take it on notice.
Next one. I wish to submit this multiple question. With your reply, the questions asked about the support cables holding up the ductwork above the warm water pool and the learn to swim pool for young children. In your reply, you state that the cable was replaced, the rust has accumulated on the wire, is surface rust, which is unfortunately inevitable due to the highly corrosive environment. So you've admitted to it's highly corrosive. Council is confident that these cables are structurally sound and no risk to users. If these rusty cables are structurally sound and rusty, why did you have to replace the broken cable? These cables were installed over 5 years ago. And as you also point out in your reply that the cables are in a highly corrosive environment, at the beginning of 2019, you said that you were going to get a tender to replace these rusty cables. What year is this tender to be provided? Could I have a rate as a ratepayer have an external structural report by an engineer as to the structural condition of these cables supporting the ductwork of the indoor pool? Could I have a cost estimate to renew the existing cables to 316G stainless steel wires that don't rust out like the existing ones?
Mr. Smith, that question has been asked and answered. Thank
well,
you.
Well, it's different to the others.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mindetta. To date, when it comes to questions applicable to Providore Place rent, or I should more accurately say unpaid rent, the General Manager, among other statements, advised that Mr. Atkins said the Council previously waived the rent it was owed on Providore Place by the head lessee up until February 1, 2019, and that the amount waived was $163,333. Rather, a decision was made by the Council at the time to defer the commencement of rent from 1 July 18 until February 2019. Now, I get that, if it's legitimate to do that under the lease agreement. But with reference to other benefits on page 55 of the annual report 2019, being community grants and event sponsorship, it states rent under description and a value of $163,333 under the amount funded. Will the Mayor, will you personally clarify just what this is all about, and does it amount to anything less than a contra approach to write off rent otherwise due and owing to Council by Providore Place, Devonport?
Mr. Gardam, that question has been asked and answered several times, and I'm not going to accept it again. Do you have a second question?
Madam Chair, I'd like a clarification. Gardam? Was a payment actually made to Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited for other benefits the annual report?
Mr.
There is
Gardam,
no explanation.
Your question has been asked and answered. Do you have a second question?
Can you point me to that answer?
Do you have a second question?
Yes. As a question on notice number 10 for this meeting, I asked a very simple question, which the General Manager did not specifically respond to. The question related to payment of success fee elements, the existence of which was disclosed by the Auditor General on page 14 of his report number 1 of 2019-20, despite Council refusing to confirm the existence of same for over 2 years, and in particular in relation to the near $2 million payment in the 2016-17 financial year. And I repeat question 10A in that the annual reports declare further payments to Projects and Infrastructure Group, Proprietary Limited, of $1,063,777 in 2017-18 and $875,710 in the 2018-19 financial year. Accordingly, my question is, were there further success fee elements payments to P plus I in the 2017-18 and or the 2018-19 financial years? Were there any further success fee payments other than those that you've told me, the $1.3 million in 2016-17?
Your question has been asked and answered, and as you have already stated, all has been revealed in the audited reports that you have.
There is no reference to success fees in the auditor's report, and that's what the General Manager told me. That is incorrect.
Mr. Gardam, your question has been asked and answered. I would ask you to sit down.
Well, that's a good fallback. Third question, time permitting. Thank you.
Mayor Rockcliffe, My name's Douglas Journey, 23 Watkinson Street, Devonport. Today, shiploading was occurring on the east side of the river. Wright Street, the west cycle path, was occupied by semi-trailers going into the wharf area. That's not legal. That's from the police department. And they suggest that the council talk to Tasport, re the issue. So the question is, what is council going to do to resolve the problem?
Thank you, Mr. General. We'll take,
yes, the General Manager through you, Mayor. Yes, certainly council is aware of the issue. We've actually got it listed for a workshop item next Monday night, and we'll be having some further discussions with Tasports in regard to the issue.
Thank you.
Well, it needs to be cleared up and no pile-up of traffic.
Point taken, Mr. Journey. Thank you. Mr. Vellacott.
Bob Vellacott, ratepayer, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport. Mayor and councillors, question one. Since council took over management of Providore Place at the beginning of January this year, that's 2020, will council confirm that other than rent from TASTAFE, has any cash payments for rent been received from all the other tenants?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Question two. It was disclosed on page 55 of the annual report 2019 that $163,333 was funded to Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited. Will council please confirm the actual council meeting and date thereof that the $163,333 of the amount funded or benefit to Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited described as rent was approved by councillors.
Through you, Mayor, just to clarify that reporting in the annual report has previously been advised, council chose to waive the rent through that period from 1st July through until February 19, and under the Act that's I guess regarded as a benefit, and council's obliged to report that in its annual report, which it did so, hence the note in the annual report.
It's a but it comes under community grants, for Pete's sake.
Thank you. Did you have another
It's a bit strange, isn't it?
No,
fair thank
you,
income.
Mr.
Just hear me out. You know, as a ratepayer, I see here in the annual general report of 2019 on the page where it says community grants and event sponsorship. So we're now sponsoring Providore Place Proprietary Limited.
Thank
I find
you,
it very, very strange.
Thank you,
you for the opportunity.
Did you have another question?
They are the two, and I would like to reserve have the opportunity to ask my third. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Christopher Mills, 52 Caroline Street. I've had to think very carefully indeed before asking this question. I am aware of Public Question Time Policy Section 13. The coordinator of Parks and Reserves, in an internal email to you, the elected members, admitted that he knew that by cutting down a row of seven trees, he would risk destabilising a landslip zone. And in so doing, he completely disregarded the views of two rather more experienced and rather more qualified managers. In this email, he told you...
Mr. Mills.
Yes?
I would remind you that I won't take any questions around staffing. If you have a question, then I would like you to ask it now, please. And if you have an issue with our staff, you request you talk to the general manager about that.
Well, as you wish.
Thank you.
In view of the above, that I haven't been able to really outline to you, the evidence is firm. The total disregard of advice of more experienced and qualified managers, and the recent intentional or unintentional misinformation given to you, the councillors.
Again, Mr. Mills, I would ask you to ask your question without casting any aspersions on my staff. Thank you.
It would be appropriate now, would it not, to determine if this staff member has breached that internal management policy.
Again, that's a discussion I would ask you to have with the general manager. Thank you, Mr. Mills.
Well, I haven't told you what the internal management policy
is. I would ask you to have that conversation with the general manager.
Well, I look forward to an invitation.
Thank you.
Rodney Russell, 225 Steele Street, Devonport. At the last council meeting, I asked, as one of our general manager's first jobs, could he please investigate who else was responsible within council for the shortcomings with the Providore Place Food Pavilion lease agreement and inform us. The Mayor said she accepted responsibility. My question is, were you accepting responsibility for other employees who were involved also?
For clarification, I was accepting responsibility for my part of the decision that was made. Thank you.
Thank you. Second question. Now that you have completed the new curb and channel in Adelaide Street, when will you reinstate the small white marks on the curb 10 metres from the corner with Best or Oldacre Street placed to assist council's parking attendants?
I'll take that on notice. Thank you.
Thank you. A third question. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Tony Butler, 2 Rose Street, East Devonport, ratepayer. For many times I've asked about Bass Street in East Devonport, and I'm very doubtful if any of you know where it is. And if you'd have been over there and had a look, how long's it been into a recycling bloody street?
Mr. Butler, I would ask you to treat this room with respect.
I'd like to be treated with respect too.
I would expect that you would behave in that manner.
Well, I would like to have a bit of respect too. I've been told all these people go over there, but who knows where it is? And who does anything about it? You've got people up one end of the street that have spent multiple thousands of dollars trying to beautify it and do it, and then you've got somebody's opened a scrapyard there on the street.
Thank you.
And he's been told that it's okay.
I will take it on notice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else who hasn't asked a question who would like to ask a question? Back to Mr. Garnham.
From the risk of repeating myself, the rent under other benefits on page 55 of the annual report, 2019, also includes $25,000 amount to the Mersey Bluff Caravan Park lessee. But it states, the lessee at the Mersey Bluff Caravan Park is undertaking capital improvements at the park in lieu of paying rent. Will the Mayor now please personally advise ratepayers, in the absence of any explanation in the annual report, just what Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited provided intangible assets for its $163,333. And I might add, I would again ask for a supplementary clarification, was a payment actually made to Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited?
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yeah, through the Mayor, I think Mr. Gardam's perhaps a bit confused with that value is the value of the rent that it was a benefit, I guess, in the fact that council chose to forego it. And under reporting requirements, we needed to put that in the annual report, and it's been fully disclosed. So there was no other, it wasn't another $163,000 on top of rent. That is the value of the rent.
Thank God for that. And I get it. I get it. Sounds like we wrote off $163,000 worth of rent. Thank you very much.
Your turn, Mr. Bellacott.
Thanks very much, Mayor.
My third question, Mayor. On the 13th of September 2019, it was reported in the Advocate in relation to unpaid rent from Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited that council was still to determine the approach to the current $179,000 in unpaid rent for the period from February 2019 until 2019. So that's from February 2019 until August 2019. Almost 6 months on, what has been council's determination as to the treatment of the $179,000, which was described at the times as rent still being owed to council? Could you clarify that? What's happened to that $179,000 in unpaid rent? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bellacott. It's still part of our ongoing planning around Providore Place. No decision's been made yet?
No decision's been made. So there's So just to clarify, $179,000 is still outstanding.
Thank you, Mr. Bellacott. You've had your turn. Are there any other... Thanks, Mr. Russell.
Queen Mary Rest Park, when will it receive its name, sign, whatever you want to call it? Will it receive one?
I'll take that on notice.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Thank you. Item 3.3 is questions on notice from councillors. At the time of writing, we have nothing on the agenda. We don't have any items at 4.0, planning authority matters. Item 5.0 is reports. Item 5.1 is the disability inclusion plan. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please? Thank you, Councillor Jarman. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hollister. Councillor Jarman.
Long time coming. It's so good that we've got one now. Obviously, I would like to point out, I suppose there's been a bit of criticism through some of the feedback that, it's about time you were doing these things. A lot was already being done. It just wasn't strategic enough and not in a plan like it is now. So this is a great jumping off point for us to only improve on what we're putting to as a report tonight. But I would like to also ask a question, if I may, through you to probably Ms. Hampton. It's all right. Just with the point that a lot of people were pointing out about the companion cards, what can we do to better educate a lot of the places? I've worked in a lot of places where we always accepted companion cards. We understand that those people are amazing, that they're actually bringing someone along. They shouldn't have to pay to go to any event or anything that we certainly looked after them when I was at CMAX, for example. Wasn't even a question. It was totally not even something that our staff needed to know. It was just accepted. What can we do to better implement this quickly instead of waiting for this plan to get out? Can we, I know that we try to do our best in council events, but it's the social community groups that run these wonderful events need to understand the importance of this companion card, and I'm just wondering if there's something that we can do as a council to get that word out, let alone across the nine councils with the Cradle Coast Authority. It just should be a given, but I don't know what we can do, whether we can make an announcement and say this is something that we really want to advocate for.
Yeah, Yeah, I think through you, Mayor, I think
there you go.
The Deputy Mayor's comments there, we'll take those on board and look at ways where we can better promote that card and certainly welcome any ideas that councillors might have on the matter.
All right, thank you. Nothing further. It's a great plan and a lot of work went through from Carol Bryant should also be recognised with all the work that she did as a staff member here at Council. A lot of the forums that she ran, she's just one of those people that can really get a lot of information out of the people that she's working with, and kudos goes to her too. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister.
Yes, thank you. I know this is an inclusion plan that we're looking at tonight, but I believe in the past that Council has always acted under the various acts dealing with disabilities. And
no, they haven't.
Thank you.
Bloody hell.
Excuse me, Council. This isn't a forum. Councillor Hollister.
I know the Council in the past acted in a way to do with the Local Government Act and the various acts dealing with disabilities, especially in the planning scheme. So I've got nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any other comments? You're on. Apologies, Councillor Ennis.
Thank you. One of the things that I noticed that there was probably less than 40 people from Devonport responded to the survey. I've mentioned it before, but sometimes electronic surveys don't really get to the right people, and we probably need to just investigate better ways in which to hear the voice of people rather than just rely on less than 40 people from the Devonport area responding to it.
Thank you. I will mention, I know we had paper copies available and other forms of opportunity for people to respond, but certainly take on board, there's always ways that we can do things better. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
Thank you. And I might just add to Councillor Ennis's comments. Obviously, this survey was one component, but the forums certainly were trying to aim at all the community groups. Council reached out and had different advocates from different community groups as well as people with disability that came along to these forums as well. Yes, we can do anything we do, we can do better, but it's certainly getting the word out. And as I said, this is a jumping off point. This is a start. It's better not to have one. So we're certainly aiming to improve on this. It'll be an open plan that we can always improve on. And all we do is say, let the people talk to us and tell us what they need. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5. Item 5.2 is tender design and project management for the East Import entry point. There's a recommendation on page 98. Do I have a mover, please?
I'll move for discussion.
Councillor Murphy, Councillor Alexia. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. I suppose I move this in relation to discussing it because I think we're putting the horse before the cart again. I think the recommendation has an element of risk for ratepayers. I think with two new vessels coming to Devonport and the uncertainty of what the port is going to look like and what the requirements will be from the Spirit of Tasmania and TT Line as the operator, for us as a council to commit $225,000 at this point in time, only to secure $3 million of federal government funding, which was an election promise, and we know what they're like. Yeah. I think we just need to be very careful about as to whether we actually go down this path. I think we need to give some serious consideration. I think we should be getting advice from Tasports and exactly what is going to be required and where it's going to be required. I think the general consensus would be if we engaged a consultant at this particular point in time, where would they actually undertake the scope of works? Because of the level of uncertainty we have in relation to where the new spirits are going to be, there's no point in wasting $3 million of federal taxpayers' money and potentially exposing the ratepayers of Devonport to carrying the risk of $225,000 for a consultant's report that eventually we may not get a grant deed anyway because of the length of period of time that it'll take for us to even get to the stage where we actually do any work. So I think we need to really seriously consider as to whether we accept the recommendation in this report. I won't be supporting it. I think we need to think very carefully, and I think we need to get advice from Tasports.
I'm a little confused. You move the motion, Councillor Murphy.
For discussion.
Councillor Alexio.
Yeah, Councillor Murphy's raised some pretty valid points that probably need to be considered. Look, from what I know in that area there, which I know pretty well, for the tourists coming into East Devonport, it really is the gateway to Devonport and Tasmania, so it's a crucial spot. There's nothing there at the moment, so there's nothing there to welcome the tourists coming in or leaving the state. I've had the opportunity to catch up with the Cradle Coast Authority, the CEO Daryl Connolly, and Tom Wharton, the Northwest Tourism Tasmania officer, and I was able to show them the area quite well and show that we can improve the area. There's room for improvement, definitely, and we want to make the entry point to Tasmania, which is in East Devonport, a pretty area for the tourists coming in. Now, I'm not sure whether the infrastructure that's going to go in there for now is signage, whether we can actually move that signage to the new spot if the Spirit of Tasmania was to embark in a different position. We might be jumping the gun. I'm not sure if we are jumping the gun. Our senior management might know some more information on where we're at this stage with that, but as far as I can see, we definitely need something to be done there.
Thank you. I will ask the General Manager just to clarify a couple of those points, if you don't mind.
Yes, through you, Mayor. The Tasports are aware that we're looking at getting a consultant on board to start this project and have committed to working with the consultant once we have them appointed. So they'd be willing to, take the consultant through their current plans as far as changes or any changes to the berthing arrangements. And there is the a workshop that we've got penciled in for April with Tasports to brief council on the on their current plans.
Can I just ask a clarification? The $225,000 is for the life of the project. That's not an upfront.
That's correct. So yeah, $225,000 is their total price. So that includes the concept design, the detailed design, the project management right through to the end of the project, and obviously paid on milestones, progress claims as the work's done.
Thank you.
If I may, just to clarify that, the report actually states here in writing, in black and white, that the council will carry the $225,000 and will be reimbursed at the completion of the project.
Just through you, Mayor, I can't actually see the sentence that Councillor Murphy is referring to, but that's in relation to the, the cash flow we're saying until, so the intention is that both the design element, the $225,000, plus the construction works would all be taken out of the $3 million grant. However, until the grant deed is executed, council will need to carry that amount until it's reimbursed through the grant.
Councillor John.
If you wouldn't mind, through you to Matthew, you're saying that you have to pay a portion of the fees this end of the financial year to get it happening because of the grants criteria that you have to meet. Do we know what portion that would be? Not really.
I think the concept, getting through to concept design, was 56,000
okay.
The 225.
So that gets us a grounding point of starting. I mean, I'm all for doing anything over East Devonport. I always have been, I always will be. If we're getting $3 million, up to $3 million given to us from the federal government, I'm all for it. We have to have someone that's professional to design this. We have to have the right person. You've tendered, you've got two there. We're looking at the best one for best value. I don't have an issue with the way that we have to do it. I understand how you'll be reimbursed. at the end of the day, I don't want to put anything a halt to anything that could help East Devonport. And if it's going to be putting us again on the map because we are a better welcoming community to any tourism, any people that are coming to Tassie, I'm all for it. So if this is going to help, I'm 100% behind it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. This is just the first step in the process. Do we have an extended time, General Manager, for the spending of the funding that we're going to receive?
Yes, the deadline we've got now is getting the grant deed executed by the 30th of June.
30th of June, thank you. I mean, I just replied to Alderman Murphy, and I understand what he's saying about the cart before the horse, but I have all faith in our General Manager and Executive Team that, of course, we'll consult with Tasports and Bernard Dwyer on the TT line. That's just the way we operate, so that will happen. And it's not also, this motion tonight is not about we need to, it is about beautifying East Devonport, but we've agreed to do that. That's why we're at this next step, and not just for East Devonport, but for the whole of Devonport. People are always talking about what can we do. Well, this is the first step in the process, and as far as I'm concerned, we do need to move this tonight and move it along. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I must confess, when I read the report, I was too a little bit concerned about the relationship between the GHD and the infrastructure changes on the port over there, and whether we went and spent more. We committed $225,000 of the $3 million to plans that may not come to fruition because of different infrastructure builds that will need to be or are going to be made to accommodate for the new spirits. But I think the General Manager's answered that, so I'm comfortable that the designs or the project management team will be working with Tasports and Spirit of Tasmania, so they'll know exactly what needs to be done and where, and I think that pretty much answers what my concern was. Just a waste of stuff that no longer exists. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Thank you. Just a question for the GM. Would it instill some confidence if we waited until the grant deed had been executed on the 30th of the 6th, or is it a surety?
Through you, Mayor. No, we need the concept design to be able to execute the grant deed.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was all, Councillor Millwood. Thank you. Councillor Ennis.
Thank you. Yeah, I too was concerned about whether we went ahead and did all sorts of stuff before we actually knew what the port was going to look like. But GM has assured us that working with Tasports, everything should be able to work properly, and I think it'd be $3 million well spent in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Hollister.
Yes, I'm going to support the recommendation. I don't think the designer and project team are going to go along in isolation without talking to Tasports. But the talk at the moment is it's going to be in berth three, so I think there's a lot of talk to go on in the future, so
thank you.
Needs to be done happening now.
Thank you. Everyone's had a say. Councillor
Merkel,
close.
I just might seek further clarification in relation to the grant deed itself. In relation to the milestone.
You're winding up, Councillor Murphy. Thank you.
So I can't seek clarification. Really?
No.
I can't ask a question.
If it's related to something someone else has said, you can.
Yeah, it is.
Go for it, then.
Thank you. Just in relation to the grant deed, the milestones, once we execute the grant deed, what's the time frame for completion for us to receive payment? I can't imagine we'd have a grant deed that wouldn't have a start and an end date.
That's correct. And those milestones will be established as part of preparing the grant deed. I think the draft dates that we've talked about are based on a completion of June 2022 at this point.
Okay, so we're looking for a completion for us to receive $3 million on June 2022, yet here we are in 2020 and we have no indication as to what the port's going to look like in 2022, and there won't be any construction completed in that period of time anyway. That's the concern that I have, is that then, therefore, we're not going to meet the milestones, and therefore, we won't receive the $3 million because we haven't met those milestones, and that's the issue. I don't think anyone's considered that. It's all well and good. I'd love to see $3 million spent at East Devonport. But I also need to be very conscious of the fact that the ratepayer of Devonport is going to carry $225,000 for that period of time with no guarantee of the fact that we will receive the $3 million if we don't meet the milestones. Now, we can execute, we can come up with a U-Butte design and work with the consultants of Tasports, but unless we can meet the milestones, we would therefore not be compliant with the grant deed. Would that be correct or incorrect?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. The money will be paid progressively as the milestones are achieved. So it's not that the $3 million gets paid at 2022. It'll be paid. So the first milestone, I think, is 25% completion and so on through the life of the project.
And again, it comes back to my point, General Manager, in relation to if the construction isn't going to be undertaken by Tasports in the same time period, therefore, what are we going to do in relation to what they're going to do?
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Your point's been made. I'll close the debate and ask, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
I will ask for a show of hands. Those in favour? Councillor Hollister, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Jarman, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Perry, Councillor Laycock, Councillor Alexio and Councillor Milbourne. Those against? Councillor Murphy, the motion's carried. Thank you, everyone. Item 5.3 is the Devon Netball Association proposed request for support.
So moved.
Second.
Councillor Murphy?
This one's a no-brainer. The Devon Netball Association has done an extensive amount of work. The workshop that they presented to us was very professional. I think it makes a lot of sense. They've got a good business case by the look of it, and I think what they're asking for from the council in principle support, I think, should be supported.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman?
It's interesting. When the association came and spoke to us the other night at a workshop, it's almost like it's about time they've come to see us to say that they want to do something like this. I'm really pleased that they've put kind of all their eggs into the one basket, but they've done it very sensibly. They've come to us with a good plan. It just makes sense, and it's only going to, you know, add to what they do there, and I hope it also grows their members. So I'm certainly happy to support. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Thank you. Last week I met with Ms Hampton and Mr Pizzarani about potentially looking at a master plan for our sporting precincts and our recreational facilities. This is to bring a bit of consistency about what is around at the moment. I'd like to use the gymnastics stadium as an example of a sporting club that went and did an amazing job, went and saved and got grants and has this fantastic facility now getting built. However, what they lacked was the space, and it sort of came to council, I believe, in that we have this amazing opportunity, we have this money, we need the space, where can it go? And it left council grappling about, what can we do, where can we put it? Just imagine if that grant and the grant that the netball facility could come with and perhaps basketball could actually all come together and build one mega facility and for generations to come, not just for the immediate future. So I really think that the master plan is a fabulous idea, that we come together and work together with everybody over the next year or two to develop this master plan. And then if this fits the master plan, absolutely 100% behind it. So perhaps if we could amend the motion along the lines of that the Devon Netball Association works with council in its master plan and we will support it, something to that.
Happy with
the
as is? Thank you.
I'm happy too. We need a bit more information sent to Councillor Milbourne, perhaps.
Thank you. Did you? Thank you, Councillor Wong. Take on board. Certainly, master planning has been on council's agenda around sports precincts for some time. So thank you for reminding us that we need to make sure that we plan for the long term, and certainly that's part of the agenda. Any other comments? Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? No. I will ask for a show of hands. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Hollister, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Jarman, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Perry, Councillor Lake, Councillor Alexio. Those against? Councillor Milbourne. The motion is carried. Thank you. Item 5.4. Australian citizenship, that council adopt the dress code. Do I have a mover, please?
You do, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Do I have a seconder?
No,
Councillor Holster. I would ask the gallery to refrain from discussing and commenting.
Sorry, my person that I'm with can't actually read the screen because he's blind.
Okay, thank you. But it is distracting, Ms. Mill.
Thank you. Well, it should be part of an inclusion plan.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. The recommendation is that our council adopt the draft citizenship ceremony dress code in accordance with the national code. I don't have a problem with this. I think this is respect on the day for our country and what they're doing. And I have to say that over the many years that I've attended and been part of a ceremony, that the people that come into Devonport to become new citizens are exceptionally well-dressed. I think it's great, and it'd be lovely. It mentions in here that national costumes, some dress up that way, some don't, but I think that's lovely. But I think it all comes down to respect. And that, in our society, is a lot what's missing in all, you know, parts of our life. So I'm more than happy to move that. It's not, as far as I read, and I can't see where it says, it's not about us attending. It doesn't matter if me or you go along in our thongs and jeans, that's fine, but it's the people becoming Australian citizens should show respect for their new country, the same as they should sing the national anthem. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister?
Yes, I concur with Alderman Laycock. I think it's all about respect, and pleasing to note that over the years, I think everybody I've seen at a citizenship ceremony is dressed respectfully, so nothing to do with it.
Thank you. Councillor
Jarman? I just need clarity first, if I may. So I find it the document interesting because it kind of doesn't say everything that the letter says that's included. So the letter is saying also that local government councils must ensure ceremonies are conducted in accordance with the Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code. This includes a requirement to hold a citizenship ceremony on Australia Day. I don't agree with being told what to do. If we've got future people being elected into this council, we might end up not wanting to have it on Australia Day. We all know that there's a lot of talk about this currently. It's a major topic. Every time Australia Day rocks around, we have this big consensus. So I don't agree with it. So, and this dress code, I agree that we should have people respectful and dress, you know, according to the fact that it's a ceremony and it's a special event. But if we have the event outside, are we saying that people that attend, like relatives or people that are with those people, can't wear a pair of jeans? Because sometimes that's the best clothes they've got.
Yeah.
They might not be able to afford a suit.
That's not what it's saying.
No, so I want clarity on this, because I'm voting on this. I need to know what I'm voting for.
I'm not sure what it is you want to know.
Is it about only the people that are signed up for the ceremony itself? Because it's not as clear. You know, who is the dress code for?
Well, so, my understanding is it's for people who are accepting citizenship. And the reasons we've only done, our code is simply about the dresses. The other issue is a separate issue altogether.
No, I understand. So, but it's saying that it is permitted that smart casual attire is acceptable as well as national or cultural dress, no jeans, board shorts or thongs. Now, fair enough, thongs. Board shorts, well, depending on what you call a board short. But jeans, sometimes that's all someone's got. Sometimes that's the clothing that they think is appropriate because it's probably their best pair of jeans that they've got. So I find it's a bit misleading
and
restrictive.
It's a code, it's not a rule, it's not a law. It's a code of conduct, similar to we sign a code of conduct that we don't necessarily always stick to.
Yeah.
Councillor Milbourne.
Thank you. I actually completely agree with my fellow councillors. However, I won't be voting for this because it does say in accordance with the Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code, and I have a really big problem with that. This is why. In the code, it does say that it has to be held on January 26. Minister Coleman, I find it really disappointing that he puts this letter forward and the amount of hypocrisy within the letter to hold this day on January 26. He's not looking after his own cultural issues in his backyard. There's a major cultural issue here on having it on that day, and I think we all know.
Point of order, Mayor.
Again, Councillor Milbourne, this is a separate issue.
It's not because it's. I'm sorry, Mayor, but it isn't because it is in the Australian Citizenship Ceremony Code. In that letter, in the code, one of those things is that it will happen on Australia Day, the first point, on January 26th.
But that's not what our dress code says.
No, but in accordance with the Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code, I'll go for this if we cross out that part of the motion.
It says all councils are required to enforce a dress code. It doesn't say anything about the rest of the issues that you're talking about. Our dress code is simply what's permitted and what's not permitted. And again, it's a code similar to our code of conduct.
My point is that it says in the motion, in accordance with the Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code, the ceremony code enforces that our citizenship ceremonies with over 20 people are to be held on Australia Day or January 26.
And that's
the law at
the moment.
My issue.
And I understand that, but that's the law at the moment. But what we're talking about is simply the dress code. It's not about any of the other issues.
So can we cross out the second part of that motion?
The motion doesn't. Does?
I don't believe this is a tick and flick. I believe there is a major importance here of what we call Australia Day and when we hold it. It is an issue for a segment of our society.
And I understand that.
And I would feel very confident if we could cross out that part of the motion in going forward. However, I feel like accepting the motion as it stands also accepts January 26 standing as Australia Day. And that is not something I can stand for.
I absolutely respect your point of view and your right to have that. However, I don't agree that that's what we're agreeing to. But that's your right to interpret it as you choose. Did either the mover or the seconder wish to change the motion in any way?
No.
Thank you.
Question, if I may.
Yes.
Isn't it federal government legislation that we hold ceremonies currently for citizenship on Australia Day? I think they've actually specified that.
Yes.
Read it.
Thank you.
Read it, people. Sorry, Madam Chair.
No, you're not, Mr. Garden, but you know. Oh, well, he might as well be. Thank you. Okay. Let me just. Yes, the chair's lost the plot. Councillor Laycock to close.
We're dealing, as it says up on the screen, quite plainly, the council adopt the draft citizenship ceremony dress code in accordance with the Australian Citizenship Ceremony Code. That's what's on the table for discussion. And I close the debate.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? I'll ask for a show of hands. All those in favour, raise your hand. Councillor Hollister, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Perry, Councillor Lakoff, Councillor Alexio. Those against, Councillor Jarman, Councillor Milbourne. The motion is carried. Thank you. Item 5.5, standing delegation for the Acting General Manager. When we have that requirement.
So moved. Councillor
Jarman, seconder.
Yep, seconded.
Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. This is just natural ongoing from the change of force that we have in this wonderful executive committee that we have now. So this just is standard of what we had previously for the previous Deputy General Manager. Only makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Merely procedural. Nothing further.
Any other comments? Councillor Jarman to close.
I consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.0 is information. 6.1 is workshops and briefings from since the last council meeting. Do I have a mover, please?
You do, ma'am.
Councillor Lakoff.
Second.
Councillor Jarman. Councillor Lakoff.
Nothing to add.
Councillor Jarman.
Nothing further.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Lakoff to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2 is the Mayor's report. Do I have a move? Councillor Hollister, thank you.
Second.
Councillor Milbourne, thank you. Councillor Hollister.
It's quite obvious that you've been as busy as ever. Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Nothing further.
Thank you. Any comments, questions?
It's good to see, Mayor, that you... here in your report that you welcome participants to the Reconciliation Australia event. Well done.
Thank you. It was a privilege. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Alexio.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that unfortunately you couldn't attend and Councillor Jarman couldn't attend the UTAS Rural Clinic School Community Welcome Speed and Networking event, which I attended and had great pleasure in attending and really enjoyed myself there, and I found it really great to work with the students on that night. Just want to say thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for stepping in. Councillor Hollister to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's report for February. Do I have a mover, please?
You do, me.
Second.
Councillor Jarman, Councillor Lakoff.
Thank you. Question to the General Manager through you, Mayor. General Manager, you met with representatives of the Vietnam Veterans Association in regard to the proposed walkway through the Norfolk Pines. Can you just update us a little bit on that?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. It was a initial discussion. They had some ideas around how we could... make those, the plaques that come through under the Norfolk Pines, how we could make those more, I guess, attractive. And we've got another meeting scheduled, I think it's next week or the week after, with them to explore some ideas that they had.
Oh, good. That's great. Good news. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman?
Yes, thank you. Through you to Matthew, if I may. You met with Gavin Pearce, the two of you. Are we going to get an update on what was discussed? At some stage, coming up to a workshop,
yes.
Or
yes, it's on next
excellent.
Monday.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments, questions, Councillor Lakoff to close?
Consider closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.0, Section 23 Committee. 7.1 is the Infrastructure Works and Development Committee meeting on the 10th of February. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Murphy, thank you. Do I have a seconder?
Seconder.
Councillor Alexio. Councillor Murphy.
Merely procedural.
Thank you. Councillor Alexio.
Nothing further to add.
Any comments, questions?
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 8.0 is I need a recommendation to move into closed session, please.
So moved.
Second.
Laycock. Conversation. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against. Motion's carried unanimously. This brings the open part of the meeting to a close. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. 6:29.